Transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, passes a small electrical current through a person's head using electrodes placed on the scalp. The technique has been trialled as a treatment for mental health issues such as depression and schizophrenia, and to see if it improves learning, memory and other cognitive functions. Although researchers say that transcranial direct current stimulation still needs further testing, they believe some people have begun using the technique at home, sometimes with homemade kits. A team of Australian researchers say it's time to consider regulating the use of these medical devices. One of that team is Nigel Rogash, who's at the Monash Institute of Cognitive and Clinical Neurosciences. Nigel's in our Melbourne studio. Welcome to the Health Report, Nigel.
Hi, Norman.
So what do? Do you just sort of get a torch battery and stick two electrodes on your head? What happens here?
Well, to be honest, it is actually more or less that simple. We actually had some Year 10 work experience students who came in and visited us last year, and I got them to just to do some looking on the internet. And one of them actually built one and brought it into the labs for us, just using a 12-volt battery and some sponges from the kitchen. So it's quite simple.
Right. And does it give you a bit of a kick? I mean, what sort of sting is it on the head?
Look, it's not too bad. It's a very, very small current. So what people generally experience is a little bit of an itching sensation underneath the electrode. So nothing too major.
So it's not as strong as transcranial magnetic stimulation?
No, that's correct. It's actually quite different. So it's actually not strong enough to make the nerve cells themselves fire. So it does, we think, is it actually just sort of changes the speed at which the neurons fire.
And what's the evidence that it benefits anything at all?
Well, the evidence
sounds like magic to me.
It is somewhat mixed. So there was some initial studies looking at things like cognitive enhancement, so improving memory, improving language skills, that showed some pretty promising results. But some more recent studies have suggested that maybe those results were either a little bit larger than what we first thought, or maybe in some cases weren't really there. There's also been some research looking at the therapeutic benefit, as you mentioned before, so looking at treatment trials in depression. Again, there's some early evidence that suggests there may be some benefit, but it's still very, very early days in that kind of research.
And are there certain types of people who may benefit more? I accept what you're saying, that on average, it's beginning to become a bit questionable, but are there some people that you think have certain features that might benefit more?
Well, look, I mean, I guess the answer to that is at the moment we don't really know. I mean, it seems that, you know, maybe people who have some kind of an impairment on a certain function might have some additional benefits compared to your average healthy person. But, you know, we're still in the early phases of actually testing this with some good research.
So what's the evidence that people are trying it out at home?
Well, there's interesting things, like there's certain forums that you can go to on the internet that are actually quite well subscribed to, and people actually write into these forums and explain how they're making these devices and, you know, what to do, and people post their experiences and these kinds of things on those websites.
So you've described what you think is a fairly harmless therapy. Are we getting overwrought about this, or is there a risk?
Well, there certainly are different safety concerns. So in terms of home use, I mean, when you're building your own equipment, one of the risks is actual burns. So you can burn yourself if you don't quite get the
So if the a current. Little current does you something good, maybe more helps you more. So you might
And
be,
this is what some people
you
think.
You might plug
and,
into the wall.
Exactly. You turn it up and then you can find yourself in quite a dangerous situation. I guess some of the other things is we know that under certain circumstances, the stimulation is quite safe. So we know that if you're supervised, if you're giving small amounts, say like a 20-minute burst, we know that that's quite good for sort of healthy people. But what we don't know is what happens when you give lots of stimulation. So if we get people that are you know, stimulating for, say, a few hours at a time, we just don't know what that actually does to the brain. And I guess this is particularly concerning for people like children, where we don't really know what happens with the developing brain, right? So there could be quite different outcomes of the stimulation depending on who's using it.
Going back to our alcohol story a few minutes ago, it could be changing the developing brain, is really what you're concerned about.
There's a possibility. And I guess, as I mentioned, we don't really know at the moment whether it's safe in those sort of circumstances.
And do you put it just anywhere on the head, or is it like transcranial magnetic stimulation? It's got to be over a particular anatomic spot.
So the stimulation is a little bit more diffuse, so we don't have quite as good anatomical control. But some of the research that we're starting to look into now is, you know, where do you put the electrodes? How big do the electrodes need to be? These kind of considerations.
And is anybody having convulsions like ECT?
No. So the amount of stimulation that we give is well below the level that you would...
So it's clearly a medical device. Just briefly, why isn't the Therapeutic Goods Administration regulating it already? Why do you have to call for this?
It sort of it falls in a kind of a grey area with the TGA's medical device regulation. So it isn't actually regulated by the TGA at the moment, mainly because of the way that it's marketed with the consumer-ready devices, where they're being, I guess, marketed as a form of enhancement for healthy brains. And this kind of allows them, I suppose, or the TGA has considered this not to be considered a medical device in this instance.
Sounds a bit of a stretch to consider it not a medical device.
And that's certainly what we were calling for in the paper, for maybe a little bit more consideration around these devices and how they're regulated, and you know whether we need to either broaden, I guess, the interpretation of the current laws, or potentially look at changing the regulation framework.
So maybe we'll put in a call to the TGA. Thanks very much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, Norman.
Nigel Rogash is at the Institute of Cognitive and Clinical Neurosciences at Monash University in Melbourne.